Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Randy Dean again, No BS Bishop. I'm here to share with you my heart about the hot topic of my life, alive to love. I'm on this earth eating, drinking, sleeping, taking in calories, seeing to it that I'm upright day by day on my feet and moving around. I'm doing all that I can to see to it that life is lived, to be alive to love. I'm challenging you who come here on Saturdays and Sundays to, and other times, whether you tune in on your own after hearing that the recording is available. Be alive to love. Don't be alive for lesser qualities. Love is the one quality to which we can find, from which we can find real value and purpose. I want to dive right into my subject today. I want to continually remind you of a taproot verse that I use for this broadcast and for my ministry in life, and that is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. New Living Translation says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." The New American Standard says, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So those are the two versions of that same verse, but let me go back again to New Living Translation. "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." I want to challenge a couple of cliches that have been alive throughout my life. I don't believe that anybody put these cliches out there out of any negative purpose or ill motive. I do believe, however, they became shop-worn. I do believe they became something of a misdirected priority. Not that anybody meant evil by them, but that we have lost some of our bearing because we've stayed rooted on a couple of cliches. And one of those cliches that has to do with us people of faith and us people of Christianity, us people of spirituality, is we call ourselves believers. Are you a believer? Yeah, brother, I'm a believer. How about you, sister? Are you a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. And I'm a believer. Yes, I believe a great many things about the Bible, about faith, about spirituality, the church. I am a believer, but I do believe that's become shopworn, a cliche that we are always relaying some message that in order to be a person of genuine spirituality, you'd better be a believer. Last time I looked, most people that I've talked to about belief and faith have serious doubt. Walk in an enormous amount of doubt. One of the common questions that is presented to me as a pastor is, "Pastor, I'm so fearful. I'm so full of worry. I'm so full of anxiety. I don't believe I'm a good believer. I think my belief system must be faulty." And I have learned to answer that with a whole different proposition. The cliche, or the shopworn phrase of being a believer, I think we're overdue for a change of how to identify ourselves. Are you ready? I want you to buckle up out there. Listen to me. This is all Bishop, no BS. I'm going to cut the BS and go straight for a Bishop of your heart. I believe it's time for us to call ourselves lovers. Are you a lover? Yes, sir, I'm a lover. Hey, are you a lover? Yes, ma'am, I'm a lover. All that we find in Scripture can be digested to really down to 1 John 4:16. It can be digested into this, again, New Living Translation of 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. I'm very drawn to that for so many reasons, but not the least of which is that it eliminates some of the technicalities that we sometimes demand of people in order to belong to our church, or some of the technicalities that people wrestle with, really, genuinely, authentically wrestle with their doubts. They wrestle with, science evidence versus faith evidence. Whatever all of that may or may not be, here's something that we should take into stock. He who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. And in fact, some of the versions of 1 John 4:16 really get bold about it and declare that whoever, all, everybody, anybody that's living in love is living in God. Good News Translation says, "And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and those who live in love live in union with God, and God lives in union with them." I could go over and over here, so many versions that just say it beautifully, but the point is, love is God, and God is love. God doesn't just love. He doesn't have love as an activity on his priority list. It is his character. It's who he is. It's what he's made of. It's his essence. The essence of God is love. So when we live in love and we discover the power and the beauty and the significance, the depth, the height, the width of love, then we've discovered God. We are walking into the arena where God lives and breathes. You know, it's not just a matter of having some casual notion about love. It's being highly motivated, highly drawn to, beautifully attracted to being a person of the deep value of love. When love captivates what we are and our imagination, our the force field of our life is love. I believe love is an art. I believe love is an experience. Love is a reach. Love is something that we give. It's something we receive. And when, like any kid first asks their mom or dad or their guardian, say, "Well, how will I know when I'm in love?" Usually the mature adult who gets that question will say to that kid, "Oh, trust me. You'll know when you're in love." Love isn't easily defined to some doctrinal statement. And in fact, I'm convinced it never should be, because love is an art. Love is an experience. Love is a reach. Love is that which we aim our goals in life. I'm going to love life. I'm going to love person. I'm going to love this activity. You know, when we determine to be lovers, then 1 John 4:16 says, then we're living in God, and God is living in us. I am a great fan of C.S. Lewis. Well, let me read a quote from C.S. Lewis that has to do with this challenge to be people of love. He said, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal, a pet. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable, because to love is to be vulnerable. Loving puts me out there at a place of vulnerability," C.S. Lewis says, "that I may be tempted to take my heart and lock it up in some impenetrable casket. I may be tempted to take my love and run to the highest mountain, and run with my heart to the highest mountain and prevent love from ever touching it. But the problem is, that will become my hell. But if I determine to love, I'm laying my heart out there, and I'm putting myself at a great risk, but I'm also, everything that is of great risk is also of some great potential. It's of some great dreamy possibility. Love is that possibility when the heart is left vulnerable and open. Love is that goal for which you were born. Love is that reason why you were created. Love is that design that God gave you. His image is love, and now your image is love. Love is that for which he created the original humans in the book of Genesis. Love is that for which God went through all the machinations of the Old Testament and why he finally sent his son as the full, complete demonstration and blueprint for who he, God, is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said, as I have loved you, love one another. And by this shall the whole world know you are my students, my disciples, that I have mentored you, if you love one another. Loving one another is the essence of why Christ came and what he demonstrated in his life and his ministry. Now, as people who, again, as I started the broadcast, I said, we're tempted to cling to shop-worn phrases like, well, I'm a believer. And we run away, it seems to me, from more creative thoughts, more creative possibilities. And I'm trying to, with this broadcast and other means in my life, to call people to a whole other value for your spirituality. And for me, that whole other value, that whole other purpose is love. I'm alive to love. All other things are potential BS. So here I am on this broadcast, again, trying to challenge notions, challenge time-worn cliches, and put us out there further than maybe we've been willing to go in the past, to know that when we live in love, we're living in God. I know some people will ask, well, then how will we know? How will we know people are Christians? How will we know that they've made the right decisions? How will we know that they've signed the right doctrinal statement? How will we know that they believe the right things? How will we understand if they haven't really testified to some, you know, some purposeful identification or definition? That's the word I'm searching for. How will we know? Well, you know what? I have discovered, I'm 66, I've discovered that there will be one way I'll know somebody has had a valuable and genuine and real encounter with a beautiful God that I know is out there, and that is love. He who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. And it, you know, 1 John 4:16 does not qualify that. Doesn't say, well, if they have this, this, and this, and they love, well, then we'll know God lives in them. No, nope, not what it says. We are here, I believe, to be lovers, not just believers. That's a fine thing. It's great to be a believer. Great belief. We all should believe something. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe love is the greater value. We are here to love and be loved and to discover love and then to show and demonstrate that love is who God is. God isn't doctrine. God isn't theology. God isn't a purpose statement. God is not a statement of certain items of, you know, do this, do that, and then you'll be a genuine Christian. No, God is love. And you discover love. If we can point people to love, then we've pointed them to God. That's what 1 John 4:16 says to me. If we pointed people to love, we've pointed them to God. If we've pointed them to God, then we've pointed them to love. We are we're at a point in, I think, in our Western culture, at any rate, where we are at impasses for understanding one another, reaching across the great divides between us. We are not doing a good job, especially here in the United States. We're not doing a good job of binding together and healing the wounds that divide us. We are creating barriers. We're creating walls. We're creating divisions. We're creating us and them. Rather than, Maya Angelou said, we should be lovers who recognize no barriers, lovers who jump hurdles, lovers who leap fences, lovers who penetrate walls, lovers who decide that there's no barrier between us that shouldn't be burst so that we can all arrive at a full destination of hope and love. I last week, I believe it was in the broadcast, I quoted Hans von Balthasar. It's a tough word to say. Hans von Balthasar. He has a short, beautiful, significant, meaningful statement. Hans von Balthasar is a Catholic theologian, and he said, love alone is credible. Love alone is credible. My belief systems will not be credible. I cannot devise a perfect doctrinal statement that's going to have everybody dancing in the streets. That's impossible. Love alone is credible. I started this particular broadcast today challenging you to move away from shop-worn cliches. Move away from things that, and frankly, many people in our culture are less and less church-oriented. Less and less people are going to a physical church somewhere. So the language that we carry in our churches, that language that, if you will, our own, we have our own accent. We know what we're saying when we talk to each other, but we're not speaking to the wide world around us really well. I know one word that the whole wide world relates to. I know one word, one value. I know one purpose, one destiny, that there's nobody on earth that misunderstands this word or has a capacity of missing what we're after, and that word is love. If I'm a lover, then I know people are going to at least attach some good value to who I am. If I say I'm a believer, that's a whole wide spectrum of stuff. There's a lot of things to believe in this world, but if I'm a lover, then love alone is credible. Love alone is credible. I've shared with you along the way here that love is not codependency. I'm not saying I love your addictions. I love the fact that you're a meth addict. I love the fact that you're an alcoholic. I'm not saying that. But I am looking at a person who is battling with the terrible enemy of addiction. And I'm looking at that person. And I'm saying, oh, I love you. I love you. And your addiction is evidence that you have lost contact with authentic, powerful, supernatural, spiritual love. My goal in life is not to convince somebody of how quickly they're going to go to hell. That's not my goal in life. I've come to believe that most people live in a personal hell right now, that no eternal hell beyond death is going to scare them enough. I do believe people understand what hell is because they live in a lot of hell in this life. I also know one purpose is going to call people out of the depths of hell and into the beauties of heaven, and that is love. If you can imagine, if we could imagine forever living in nothing but the complete, pure, beautiful, newly created, adoring power of love in God. If we can imagine living in that kind of new creation, well, that's the genesis of God's involvement with us. Love. Love. Love that knows no limit. Love that knows no end. Love that's never started. Love that will never end is who God is. He who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. I'll add another part of this. Oswald Chambers, another great preacher of another generation, said, when we can imagine our worst enemy forever alive in the new creation, adoring God alongside us, well, then we can begin to say we have loved like Jesus Christ. If you can imagine your worst enemy forever alive in the new creation, adoring God right alongside of us, well, then we can begin to say, we have loved like Christ. I love Martin Luther King Jr. He said this, we have before us the glorious opportunity to inject a new dimension of love into the veins of civilization. There is still a voice crying that echoes across the generation saying, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for them who despitefully use you. And bless those who curse you. Pray for them who despitefully use you, that you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. This may well be the salvation of our civilization. The salvation of our civilization is what? Political agreement? No. What is the salvation of our civilization? Come to my church? No. What is the salvation of our civilization? Sign a document that says you did the right salvation formula? No. The salvation of our civilization, according to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., may very well be discovering a new dimension of love. We are coming to a point where we have sometimes, in some ways, we have no other choice. We're going to have to choose to love or not exist anymore. Friedrich Bruckner said in The Clown in the Belfry, Writings on Faith and Fiction. I'm sorry, I love quotes, so bear with me. Here it is. He said, turn around and believe that the good news that we are loved is better than we have ever dared hoped, and that to believe in that good news is to live out of it and toward it. To be in love with that good news is of all good things in this world the gladdest thing of all. Turn around and believe that this good news is that we are loved better than we ever dared hope. If each of us who have been, again, using the shopworn phrase, I'm a believer, if each of us could step away and just intentionally start saying, I'm a lover. Well, where do you go to church? Well, first I want you to know I'm a lover. Well, what is your, are you Catholic? Are you Protestant? Are you Jewish? Are you Islamic? What are you? Well, before I tell you that, let me tell you, I'm a lover. If we can then believe that the good news that we are loved is better than we ever dared hope, I'm convinced, like Martin Luther King Jr., we're on to something that may very well be the salvation of our civilization. The salvation of our civilization is not making sure everybody believes right. I'm laughing because of how silly that even sounds as I say it. The salvation of our civilization is not going to be found in everybody crowding into my church building. Salvation of our civilization is not going to be found in making sure that everybody has a perfect understanding of the Bible from index to maps, is what one preacher said one time. I believe the Bible from the index to the maps. No, not getting everybody to believe the Bible exactly the way I do, is that's not the salvation of our civilization. The salvation of our civilization may very well be, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, may very well be learning to live a life that looks like the life of Christ when he said, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you, that you can be the children of your Father who is in heaven. We're at a crossroads, and I'm believing that it is a crossroads of significant destiny written in it. I'm going to say this with a great deal of trepidation, but I'm going to say it with clarity. I don't believe that things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then Jesus comes back and he swoops down and he snatches some people away and he hides them away while great wrath and destruction falls on all the bad people. Listen, no BS from this bishop right here. I do not subscribe to that vision of the future. My vision of the future is that love alone is credible, that love alone has the final say, that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final say on all reality. People want to know, well, what happens to us when we die? I can't really tell you. I have some ideas, sure. I could surmise. I can think out loud about what may or may not happen. But here's what I know for absolute sure. Here's what I know beyond any doubt, that when I die, I fall into the arms of absolute perfect love. Love catches me. He who dwells in God dwells in love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God. Whoever abides in love abides in God. Whoever abides in God is abiding in love. And perfect love will cast out fear. So when I die, I believe that my death will just propel me, will launch me into the arms of magnificent love. Love alone is credible. Love alone has the final say. Love alone will speak whoever's destiny has to be assimilated into the wisdom of God. Love, love, love. I again, one more quote here. Let me see my time. I'm coming down to the home stretch on today's broadcast. Again, can I just say thank you for the honor of your attention. Thank you for your blessing me by giving me your time to listen to me ramble around here about being alive to love. Let's be alive to love. Barbara Brown Taylor, I've used this quote generously because it is so descriptive of some of the goals that I've set for my life and how I keep myself as a healthy human being going through life. Here's what Barbara Brown Taylor says. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you or spring me from the prison of yourself, if you will allow it. Drink those words in. Drink in that somehow, if all of us would make it our goal, our desire, our aim, our purpose, our dreams, our priority to be lovers, if we would do that, we would discover that by being lovers outwardly, we are freeing ourselves from the prison of self. We're just absolutely blowing narcissism out of, blowing selfishness away from us. When we love others out from ourselves, we are sprung from our own prison. Barbara Brown Taylor in that quote says, when we can learn to see all human beings, not as somebody I have to fix. You know, when somebody comes to me and they want to see to it that I've got the right baptism formula, or I belong to the right church, or somebody's approaching me about, well, how did you come to believe in Jesus? When somebody comes to me wanting to know if you die tonight, will you go to heaven or hell? To me, those things start to teeter on the whole BS notion. I feel like I'm about to be sold a car I'm not sure I want to buy. But when people come to me in love, and out of love, they're not looking to fix me, change me, help me, save me, enroll me, convince me, or control me. Out of love, they've come to encounter or to make a connection with me. Barbara Brown Taylor's quote here says, if I can see all around me, people who are there to be loved, that will ultimately, if I love them, I'll spring myself from my own prison. Well, there's today's broadcast. Thanks for joining. I didn't go through any real hard outline, but I did start this by saying I want to challenge time-worn, shop-worn, weary old cliches, and I want to create a new paradigm. And one of the new paradigms, the new paradigm I want to create is that rather than being believers or church people or a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic or a dyed-in-the-wool Protestant, I want us to become known as lovers. When somebody asks you what's your belief system, look them dead in the eye, smile, and say, "Hi, I'm a lover." Jesus said, "This is how people will know we belong to Him, that we love one another." 1 John 4:16 says, "He who dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in them." Thanks for being with me today. It's really a pleasure to challenge you to join me to be alive to love. To cast lesser notions, to be people of love and no BS. God bless you. I love you, and so does God.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.